Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I just want to thank and praise God for those that are here right now in this live stream. Come on, let's give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, we're mighty, mighty thankful for some of the saints have come out for this live stream. And, you know, we can't gather no more than 10 right now, but praise God for God's faithfulness. Well, I'm excited about this evening's message, and I believe that the Word of the Lord will refresh us, will edify us, we will be built up. We will see insight that God has given us through His Word. And so, are you guys ready? I'm ready. I'm ready to deliver God's Word. And so, before I pray, I hope you brought your Bibles. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to read together verses 44 through 49. But please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness, O God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, Help Me Be an Overcomer. Jesus, Help Me Be an Overcomer. And saints of God, let me just say this right now. There are many people, as I mentioned, going through various emotional roller coaster rides, you know, at staying at home and, you know, when are we going to be released back? And I've gotten many calls that many people, including family members, have lost their jobs through this whole ordeal. But I'm here to let us know that we can still be an overcomer through Christ who strengthened us. Can I get an amen in the house? Yes. And so are you there? Are you there? Let's go now to Luke 24 and let's read together verses 44 through 49. And it reads, Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And saints of God, this is why the Word of God needs to be high and lifted up. The Word of God needs to be at the forefront. The Word of God needs to be above everything else. Why? It's because the Word of God will open up your understanding and the Scriptures will come alive. Can I get amen? Let's go to the next verse. Verse 46, and then it says, Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're learning more regarding the feast of the Lord concerning that. Now here's the key. And that repentance and remissions of sins should be what? Preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And let's look at verse 49. Behold, say that with me. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, let me just say this. As a Christian, one of the things that's vital, one of the things that's needed in the body of Christ is to be baptized in the Spirit and in the power. You know, it's real easy to just to say a sinner's prayer and say, oh, wow, you know, I'm a Christian now. No, there has to be a change, and we're going to look into this Bible study this evening, and we're going to see through God's Word that you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be an overcomer. We cannot overcome these things in our flesh. We need the power of God. We need the strength of God. We need God's wisdom. We need God's mercy. We need His understanding. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Amen. So let's look at this right here. Many of us have found ourselves repeatedly confessing the same sin to God. I find myself in that situation many times. But look at this. But wondering why we can't overcome it. So what is that one thing that we can't just overcome. Well, I'm hoping that we, through the scripture, through the lens of scripture, God will show us exactly how we can utilize God's word and be set free. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, have you ever felt trapped? Well, guess what? Paul the Apostle, he was one of the first ones to discover that when he got saved, you got to remember, he was a religious Pharisee. This man persecuted the church. But when he got saved, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, God did a supernatural thing in him. And he found out now that there's a war in his members happening. He understood now that there was a battle within himself. It was the flesh against the spirit. And a lot of times, us Christians, we find ourselves emotionally distraught because we forget that we're in a battle. We forget that God's power, through His strength, we can overcome. But if we are left to our own understanding and our own flesh, we will be defeated and we will find ourselves continually going back to the same sin. Why? Because God is out of the equation. But when you factor in the Holy Ghost, can I get an amen? When you factor in the power of God, God will set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church here in Romans 7:15. He said, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Did you see the roller coaster ride he's having? See, he figured it out that there are some things that he needed God, because he found himself going around and around in a mulberry bush. That's right. He was playing ring around the rosies with his sin. He couldn't understand, how can I be free from this? Well, when a Christian gets saved, he finds himself in this type of predicament. This is why you need to be in Bible study. This is why you need the Word of God. This is why you need the power of God. You need to understand that God's Word and God's power, that will eradicate the things that the flesh will battle against the Spirit. Can I get an amen in the house? And one of the things is confession. You see, every day we need to confess our sins. It just doesn't happen on that one day that we got saved. It should be a continual confession. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Oh, yes, it does. Look at 1 John 1:19. Look at what it says right here. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from some? All. And all means what? All unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at this. God will forgive us. Can I get an amen? He will forgive us. But merely confessing may not bring us to victory. Oh, that's right. You see, repentance, we're going to look at this word repentance. Repentance is forsaking a certain sin that always wants to rise up its ugly head and battle us and contend against us. So I'm just going to, perfect example, if someone's been delivered by alcohol, why are you, or let's just say, I'm gonna take me for instance, okay? And obviously, I struggle in my diet, okay? I'm a roller coaster ride on diets. But if I'm on a diet and, you know, I'm doing fine and I'm losing pounds and then I go, man, I need to go get a Diet Coke. Why would I want to go into a donut shop to buy a Diet Coke? Why? Because that would be tempting, wouldn't it? Well, see, there are some things that God delivers us where we need to stay away from. Can I get an amen? If He's delivered us from alcohol, stay away from it. If He's delivered you from pornography, don't watch it no more. Can I get an amen? If He's delivered you in certain lifestyles, then guess what? Refute that lifestyle and walk away from it and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So now, let's look at this on your screen right up here. What is missing? And what will help you? Will help us, you and I, get out of this cycle? Here's the missing link right here. What's the missing link? It's genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. That's what will deliver you and I. It's not so much, I'm going to do the best I can. And no, our best is not enough. Can I get an amen? Our best is not enough. It'll never be enough. What we need is genuine repentance. We need to be sorrowful for that sin. We need to see that sin that it was detestable. We need to see that sin that it was horrific. We need to see that sin that was going to take us to hell. That's how we need to view that particular. There has to be genuine repentance. Can I get an amen? And so, saints of God, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told all of his apostles to proclaim repentance for what? For the forgiveness of sins. In his name, to all, say that with me, to all nations. And this was not the first time the message of repentance had been announced. It wasn't. Nor it would be the last. Let's look at the first time in the New Testament that the word repentance was used. Let's go there. Let's look at the first principle. John the Baptist began his ministry with these words. What were the words? Found right here in Matthew 3 and 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Did you catch that, saints of God? See, there is a prerequisite. There has to be a prerequisite in order for the deliverance to come. You see, we want to jump into salvation. We want to jump in to be as a Christian. But if we exclude repentance, we'll never receive God's best. And we will always struggle in that same, whatever that sin may be in your life. But God said there's a way, there's a key, and it's called repent. Now, let's look at our second principle right here. Let's go there. Look, a short time later, Jesus came on the scene. He repeated the same message. So his cousin, John the Baptist, and then now Jesus himself is saying the same thing. Why? Because Jesus, who the Bible says in Colossians, created this whole entire universe. He created the whole world. So if he created us, he knows how to fix us. Can I get amen? He knows how to fix you and I. He knows the best for us. And so one of the things to get right with God first, then we can get right in the world around us, is walking with a repentant heart. You see, a repentant heart, now you've guarded your heart from pride, from covetousness, from things that will tear you down, things that will bring you to a place of torment. Some people are tormented right now, and they don't even know why they're tormented. Why? Because they're not in right standing with God. And when they open up these certain doors and windows, they allow the enemy to come in like a flood. And then chaos develops. Oh, yes. Look what Jesus said right here in Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Say that with me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if Jesus and John said repent, then shouldn't we repent? Can I get an amen? Shouldn't that come before receiving Christ? That we need to repent? We need to look at our sin as very sorrowful. When's the last time you wept at an altar? When's the last time you wept on your knees? When's the last time you got before God in your room and just cried out and said, oh God, I'm a wretch, but thank you, God, for saving me. You see, when you start praising and giving him glory and honor, and when you start understanding that it was him who saved you, we didn't save ourselves, then God's flow of the power of God and the grace of God and the fragrance of God will illuminate in your life. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at our third principle here. After the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Peter boldly told the people, listen, you got to remember this guy. I call him old scaredy-cat Peter. Why do I call him that? Because he denied Jesus three times. He denied him three times before he got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's right, he did. Now, look at this. This is his first sermon. Now, you gotta just picture this for a moment. Let's go back to small screen. Let's just picture this for a moment. Here is Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Now, Jesus said, before I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And so he said, I want you to all tarry in the upper room in Jerusalem. Okay, so 120 went up to this upper room in Jerusalem. Guess who was also included in that 120? Jesus' mother. She needed salvation. She needed to be saved. So there were men and women in that upper room, and they waited patiently as they were anticipating something glorious to take place. And guess what? God chose the fourth feast of the seven feasts of the Lord. Remember, that was Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. 50 days later, Pentecost. And God chose to pour out the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. My goodness. So they were in that upper room. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And when the Holy Ghost came in and it filled the whole entire room, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. The Bible says it was cloven tongues upon them. And the people down below, the people in the street, the people all over the place heard them, heard the 120, and they were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And guess what happened? Those people down there thought they were drunk. They go, oh man, these guys are wine bibbers up there. And so no, Peter, remember, he denied. He denied Jesus three times. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and power. He was bold. He came down the steps and he preached a word of conviction to these folks. He said, it was you that put Jesus on the cross. What? And so a conviction came through the anointing of God. See, when the anointing and the power of God comes, then comes conviction, not persecution. God, when he comes, he brings conviction. Why? So that you would have ears to hear and eyes to see. That he would bring you to a place that you could look at your sin and be sorrowful for it. He doesn't condemn you. The devil condemns us. But God brings conviction to save us, to do a mighty work in our life. So what was his first sermon ever given? It's right here. Let's go big screen right here. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. That means make an about face. Go do a 180 turn. Repent means turn from your wicked ways. Turn from the lifestyle. Turn from your from many things that you've been walking, the course of this culture, the course of the world, and turn and go now and start walking toward a holy God. Repent and let every one of you, what? Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. So that was the very first sermon. And let me just say this. Why has this changed? After 2,000 years have gone by. Now it's just, oh, just receive God and just pray a simple prayer and welcome to the family. And yet there has been no repentance. There has been no godly sorrow. People are not sorry for their sin. They don't understand. They have sinned all their life, and now they've come face to face with the Holy God, and they are not to turn? Why would this change after 2,000 years? It has become a lukewarm message across the churches. But I believe God is doing something mighty during this COVID-19 time. Can I get an amen? God has all of our attention right now. God is saying, hey, I want to stir up a new thing. And you know what? After this thing passed, I believe the glory of God, the power of God is going to illuminate in the churches, and people are going to rise up with fervency. Can I get an amen? People are going to rise up saying, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And you should never be the same again. Hallelujah. There should be a fire lit in your bones. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. No one wants to be locked down, but God, hallelujah, is going to do a mighty, mighty thing. Can I get amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's look at our fourth principle here. Let's look at this. Later, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians church saying, look what he wrote here. He said, now, I rejoice that you were made what? Sorry. You see, only the Spirit of God can bring conviction. Only God can show you your sin so that you can say, oh, how wretched I am. And so he says this, now I rejoice that not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. You see, your sorrowfulness will lead to repentance. Look at that. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us and nothing. Listen, let me just say this. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to a true heart of repentance, you will lose some things. Some of the things you will lose probably right away is some of your old friends that held you back, that all they wanted to do was party. All they wanted to do is maybe drugs and alcohol, whatever. lied, stole, cheated, whatever the case may be. Or it could be something that you were pursuing, some kind of idol. Do you know that God has removed the idols from this nation right now? Look at what He's removed. He's removed baseball, basketball, football. He's removed all these things. Can I get amen? These are things we couldn't wait. Oh, the season's starting. Here we go. He's removed all these idols to sit us still so that God can minister to us now. Can I get it? I know the culture, they don't get that. But we as Christians should say, man, this is God has called a timeout. God has called a reset button. And He has, boom, He hit every one of us. I'm going to reset you and I'm going to start and do a new thing in you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Why? Because we serve a loving God. God wants the best for us. Did you know He loves you? He really loves you. And God could have, listen, we could have all been destroyed with this COVID thing. But guess what? He's keeping the saints of God protected. Can I get an amen? He's put a shield and buckler around us. Can I get an amen? He's watching over you. He's watching over your home. He has encamped angels about you. Hallelujah. Why? Because nothing's going to thwart the plan of God for your life. Can I get amen? Amen? Thank you, God. So let's look now at our fifth principle here. In Revelation 2:5, the glorified Christ admonished the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, this is where we find also Revelation. Listen, I've been to Turkey. I've seen the seven seats. I seen all these places that Revelation is talking about. One of them is right here, found right here, Revelation 2:5. Let's read that. It says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Now, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You know what God is saying right now to the church during this COVID? I want you all to return back to me. Some of you were on fire for God, praise God, and you are still on fire for God. But there are some who have drifted, who have swayed away, who say, I'm going to sign up my kid and I'm going to let him play all the sports and it's okay. I'll catch Sunday service next week. I'll catch it online. And didn't care about coming and supporting the ministry of God. God is doing a reset thing. He's going, I need you to get your house prioritized. Because you know why? Jesus said, I'm soon to return. How many believe He's coming soon? You better know that God is coming soon. We're seeing all these signs. Can I get amen? Amen. So look what He says. Remember, therefore, for where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, for some of you that are just maybe logging on right now, you know, praise God, I've got like 700 friends on Facebook, and only a small percentage attends Amazing Grace. And maybe you're just logging in for the first time, and you're going, man, I want to see this guy. I want to see what he's all about. You know, I saw that Placido Fee Sullivan is coming live. So maybe you're logged in right now. And maybe you don't know what repentance is. Let's look at this. Here's the question I have. I put it right here on the screen. What is repentance? What is repentance? Well, repentance is heartfelt sorrow for sin followed by the renouncing of sin and a sincere commitment to forsake it. Did you catch that? So in other words, you acknowledge it and now you're saying, I forsake it. I don't want to go this road anymore. And when you forsake it and you walk now in obedience with Christ, can I get amen? Amen. So saints of God, it's not merely feeling remorse or guilt, but changing direction. Okay, I was headed this way. Now, 180 degree change. Now I'm following Jesus. Now I want to follow the Lord. Can I get amen? And He's doing a mighty job in many of your lives. I have seen firsthand with my own eyes how God is doing a wonderful job in your life. Can I get amen? But it includes a recognition that sin is against Almighty God and is utterly wrong, saints of God. And when we have truly repented, the result is a what? Changed life. A true life that's repentant, there is a change from within. You know, it's real easy to put on, you know, hallelujah clothes and go home and still live like the devil. But if there's a true change, guess what? Even in your household, there'll be that glow of holiness about you. There'll be a fragrance of the anointing of God upon you. And people in your home, even if you're there alone and you have a dog, even your dog will want to come next to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is what tames our tongue and it's what tames our heart. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's right. And when we have truly repented, the result is, like I just mentioned, a changed life. We forsake our former ways and our thoughts, and we return to the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah. Thousands of years later, look at what Isaiah wrote. It says, let the wicked, what? Forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Look at this. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have, say that with me, mercy. Mercy on him. And to, look at this, and to our God, he will abundantly pardon. What? How many are so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know that when you truly repent of your sins, God pardons your sin? He takes your guilt and your shame. He takes your past. And the Bible says he throws it into the sea of what? Forgetfulness. You see, old Slewfoot, the devil will remind you of your sin every day. But God won't remind you of your sin anymore. Can I get amen? Why? Because it's covered now under the blood.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, we serve a mighty God. I feel the anointing right now. Can I get an amen in the house? Hallelujah. Hey, can I get an amen from the couch? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Repentance is essential for all believers. Can I get an amen? For every believer. There's no one excluded. Now, look at this. Sin does not fit in our lives. Why? Because God has said it in Romans. Let's go to Romans right here. Look at this. For whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many. Did you catch that? For whom he foreknew. That's you and I. God, before the foundation of the world, chose you and I. Can I get an amen? That we would be saved. And if he has chosen you with his foreknowledge, and now our job is to allow him to conform us into his image. We have to die to self, and we have to walk in his ways. And we got to say, God, it's no longer my will, but thy will be done. And so when you allow God to transform you, when you allow God to correct you, when you allow God to do the miraculous in your life, you will be a blessing not only to the people about you, but you will be a blessing to him. You know, God takes joy when he watches his son and daughter glorify him and magnify him and continue with a made-up mind to do the will of God. Thank you, God. So, saints, whenever we do sin, the indwelling Holy Spirit convicts us so that we can, what? Confess and repent. We should never, never ignore, tolerate and to accept or practice what is very shameful. It shouldn't be part of our lifestyle anymore. Can I get an amen? It not only offends God, but it also hurts us. And so this is why we should never regress. This is why we should never turn back. Can I get an amen? Now, is there mercy for those who do walk away? Yes. But it's not a fun place to be, because God will teach you a harsh lesson back there. Yes, he will. But his grace will still reel you back in. Why? Because he loves us. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this. Repentance is essential for salvation. You see, saints of God, God made the way of salvation very simple. Yet there is so much confusion about it. Some people say that all we have to do is just believe in Jesus. So in their view, repentance and submitting to the Lordship of Christ are not part of the salvation message, are not part of salvation at all. Others think that joining a church, being baptized, giving money, and doing good works is all that's necessary. But saints of God, I'm here to let you know that salvation is by faith, not by works. Can I get amen? But we need to clarify what believing in Jesus really means. And so I'm praying that this message tonight, hallelujah, the expression, it encompasses so much that it'll really truly sink in, and that you will understand that it's more than merely believing what the Bible says about him. Saving faith is more than mental agreement with truth. Are you understanding what I'm saying here tonight, saints of God? It includes an acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and for my sins, as well as the recognition of our own sinfulness. See, God wants us to see in our heart of hearts how sinful we are, so that we can give it to Him, so we can turn from it. Can I get amen? And so we become sorrowful under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it becomes a desire from within to change. How many of you want to change? How many of you want to be blessed by God? Well, take heed to the message, because this is the key. It's not a feel-good message. It's about, man, I got to search within. I got to see, God, is there anything that's not like you? Oh, God, here, I give it to you. Take it from me. Can I get an amen? And so, believing in Jesus, it includes several things. Number one, let's go there. Believing in Jesus, let's open that up. Believing in Jesus includes, number one, complete trust in Him for salvation. How many of you trust Him right now? Hallelujah. That's right. I am so blessed to have some saints here tonight in this live stream. Come on. Hallelujah. I can't wait till we gather again. Can I get amen? Well, we can get the whole church to shout and say, praise the Lord. Let's look at number two here. Number two says right here, repentance from past sins. Man, let me say, believing in Jesus, He will not only save you for today, but the Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, your sins are no longer remembered by Him. He has forgotten about your sin. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And so number three, the key is surrender our lives fully to Jesus. He has the best. He has the best plan for your life. How many believe that? How many right now from the couch can raise up your hand? Amen. Hallelujah. You see, He has the better life for me. And so, in the New Testament, saints of God, salvation and repentance are often equated together. When Jesus spoke of salvation in Luke, look what He says right here in Luke. He says, I have not come to call the righteous, but what? Sinners to repentance. You see that? Listen, if people are walking around with a self-righteous attitude, guess what? God cannot work in that person's life. You know why? Because we have to what? We have to be walking in humility. Can I get amen? How many believe you need to walk in humility? Amen. Amen. There's probably many of you right now on your couch going, yes, I need more humility in my life. Can I get amen? Amen. See, saints of God, we need to walk in a way where God can really radically use you. How many want to be radically used by God? Yes. Hallelujah. I want to be radically used by Him. And for the past 31 years, I have surrendered my life to Him. I didn't get here by osmosis. I got here because I love Him. I got here because I serve Him. I got here because I praise Him. I got here because He's my all in all. And I'm praying and hoping that He's your all in all. Can I get an amen? Lord. And so He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, God cannot work in a prideful life. Why? Because they become Mr. Know-it-alls. You know what a Mr. Know-it-all? You can't teach me nothing. I know it all. And so when you try to teach the love of God and you try to show God's mercy, I know it all. And so those are self-righteous folks. He's coming for you and I, man, that, man, I can't do nothing within myself. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you to fix me. Can I get an amen? So Peter also spoke of salvation, saints of God, when he wrote that the Lord does not wish that none should perish. See, it's not God's will. But unfortunately, He didn't make us like robots. Can I get amen? Listen, if He was going to save the entire world, He would have never sent Jesus for the whole entire world. There are people that are going to reject Him. I know some beautiful, wonderful people in my life who I truly loved, and yet they died without Him. And it was a sorrowful moment for me, because I knew their life. And I knew they didn't want nothing to do with God. But look what 2 Peter says right up here. Let's look at this. The Lord, say that with me. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count what? Slackness. But is long-suffering toward us. Wow. God is long, meaning He's merciful. He's patient. God is so patient with us. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? To be happy? To be glad? No. What's that last word there? That we should come to repentance. Did you catch that, saints of God? This is what the world needs. This is what needs to take place in this nation. This nation needs to repent before a holy God. I truly believe if we're going to be restored to normalcy, if we are to have our country back, and that we can live and breathe and do the things that we once did, I truly believe this nation needs to repent. It needs to go back to God. Can I get amen? It can't be business as usual. It can't be good. I can't wait till they open the door so I can go run back to my sin. You see, people can't wait for the stadiums to open. Why? So they can go in there and get drunk and watch a game. My goodness. My goodness. Saints of God, we need to learn something from this. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. God is doing something mighty in your life. He's speaking to us right now. And I believe many across the world are getting saved. That's right. Listen, in the past month, we've had 4 baptisms here. People giving their hearts to Christ. Why? Because they understood that they need God. They need God in their life. Can I get an amen in the house? Saints, another area of confusion is the lordship of Christ. Some people want to claim Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. He saved me, but you know what? I don't want Him over my life. I still want to do what I want to do. In other words, you have a Burger King life, having it my way. No, God is saying, submit all, give me everything. Let me do a new thing in you. How many can honestly say He's doing something mighty in your life? Come on. That's right. You see, saints of God, some people want to claim Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. They desire His forgiveness and a guarantee of heaven, but they don't want Him telling them how to live. Don't tell me how to live my life. Yeah, you forget. Yeah, but don't tell me how to live my life. That's not Christianity. It's not. It's submitting to the will of God. It's looking what the scriptures say about my life. And now, oh God, allow me to walk in your will. Allow me to walk in your way. Allow my life to be pleasing unto you. Can I get an amen? You see, the problem with this approach is not only that it's extremely selfish, it's also contrary to the very identity of the Son of God and who He is. He is the Lord. Say that with me. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot remove the fact that He is our Lord and our God. And those who are truly repentant are willing to submit to Christ and let Him lead them in a new direction. When I got saved 31 years ago, I was headed to a life of destruction. I was going to hell in a handbasket. And when I got saved, He took me by His hand, and He has led me for 31 years, and I haven't let go of His hand. Can I get an amen? It's only but God's grace. It's only His mercy that He has kept me. And there were times, I'm going to admit, there were times that I didn't want to be kept. There were times that I missed doing the things at one time that I used to do, but that God had to remind me how good He is and that I didn't need that world no more. I got something better for you. I didn't know He was going to lead me to pastor some wonderful people. People that I love and I miss. And I miss you at home. And I can't wait till we can all come back into the unity of the faith where we can embrace one another again. Instead of doing a Zoom or saying, praise the Lord, or do a live screen. Hi, I hope you hear me over there. Man, I just want to hug you and say, God was with us the whole time. God loves you. He loves me. And He wants to do the miraculous in our life. And so, let's look at this, saints. Repentance, it results in a changed life. After salvation, we begin a brand new life. Hallelujah. Although we don't understand all that's involved at that moment, saints of God, the Holy Spirit works within us to convict us of our sin. He draws us to repentance, and He guides us on a new path of obedience. Praise God. And so we all began as spiritual babies. That's right. Some of this word right now, if you're a spiritual brand new baby, some of it is hard to chew on. But in time, you start to grow in the grace and knowledge. In time, you start to go from milk to some food. And then now you'll be able to chew on the word. Can I get amen? And guess what? It'll sometimes go down a little bitter, but when it gets to the belly, it's like honey. Can I get an amen? Sometimes God's words, it's tough. It's hard to chew on. But once you allow it to saturate in your life, it becomes like a jar of honey. Hallelujah. Why? Because he will set us free from the things that we entrap ourselves in. So we start out as spiritual babies, but the Lord wants us to continually grow in him. Can I get an amen? And repentance is a large part of this process. Can I get an amen in the house? Saints, if we stop turning away from sin, we will stop growing and stay infants in Christ. Come on, we got to forsake that. Can I get an amen? Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He said this, "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. And as," look at this, "as to babes in Christ," little babies. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able." So there is a period in your life where it's called the learning curve, the growing pains. How many of you have stumbled and did face plants where God had to come with a spiritual spatula and scrape you from the ground? And then what does he do? He brings you upright again. He washes you. He cleanses you. And guess what? He says, "Now, continue to follow me as I bless your life." Oh, we all been there. We've all had those face plants. Can I get an amen? But God is a good God. Say that with me on the couch. God is a good God. Hallelujah. And he's worthy to be praised. At this time right now, let's just give him a shout of glory in the house. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. We're not perfect. We're not perfect, but we are responsible for what we do. Can I get an amen? So after salvation, we should desire to please the Lord and do good works as he has planned for us. Can I get an amen? Listen, his plan for you is great, is mighty. Can I get an amen? It's awesome. Look what it says in Ephesians right here. We're coming in. We're almost closing. Hold on. There's nowhere to go right now. Hang on. Or if you're tired of that corner of the couch, move to the other side of the couch. Get up and stretch your legs for a moment. Hallelujah. Don't worry. There's nowhere to go. So slow your roll. I'll be done shortly. Can I get an amen? Amen. Somebody said, "Man, when is this preacher going to be over?" Hallelujah. Well, guess what? There's no clocks in heaven. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this in Ephesians 2. Let's go there. Look at this. "For by grace," say that with me, "for by grace you have been saved," what? "Through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Hallelujah. It's a gift, not of works. Did you catch that? "Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God has a better plan. His plan is better. His plan is pure. His plan is holy. His plan, let me just say this, his plan is our all in all. He has the best plan. How many believe he has the best plan? Oh, thank you, God. Yes, 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 yes. He has the best plan. So, saints, let me just say this. If we are genuinely saved, we will never be happy or satisfying living in sin. Why? Because we now have a new nature through the Holy Spirit. That new nature who indwells in you and I. And when he convicts us of sin, our first response should be to ask him, "Oh God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me." Can I get an amen? He's made provision for us. Aren't you so blessed that he loves you, that he made provisions for you, that you can humble yourself and come to the foot of the cross and say, "Oh God, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said this. Oh God, help me get my life right. Oh God," you know, right now, I'm just speaking to some of you right now. Right now in your homes, there are marriages that are falling apart. Why are they falling apart? Why? Because a lot of pride has set up in camp. This is the time to humble yourself at the side of the Lord. This is the time to say, "You know what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." This is the time to destroy those things. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." Can I get an amen? This is the time to get right or get left. Hallelujah. Some of you need to say, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry for the things I said. Some of you need to reconcile and come back together as one. Why? Because God has called us ministers of reconciliation. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is the time, hallelujah, the church to rise up in righteousness. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I don't want to be left behind. I want to make sure that God, hallelujah, has wrote all those things in the books of heaven about me and that they're good and yes and amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Someone got to give God praise and glory right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I really believe there are marriages that right now that are so horrendous, but God is the answer. Hallelujah. God will fix it. If you just give your heart to Him, hallelujah, and let Him cover the past. Let Him cover the things that you said to one another. Let it be buried under the blood. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then come together and reunite and start living for Christ once again. Amen. Can I get amen in the house? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God just gave me that right now for those of you right now that are going through. Hallelujah. We all go through, but God is saying something right now. God is doing something mighty in your life. Hallelujah. Don't close your ears. Don't turn off the remote. Don't turn off the TV right now. This is for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So look, let's look at this. What does confession mean? Well, confession means to agree with God that what we did was wrong. Not what God will never do nothing wrong to us. It's what we did. But that alone will not keep us from repeating it. That's why repentance, say that with me, repentance shall always be a part of confession. We are called to live a sanctified life, one that is set apart for God and His purposes. Oh, where does it say that, Pastor Fee? It says it right here. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Praise God. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:9. You got your Bibles? I hope you got your Bibles on your lap. Amen. But praise God. It's on your screen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just read the screen there. Can I get amen? Look at this. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Say that with me. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. These are people that just live in each other's sacks and they go from one partner to another. They just fornicate. They don't care about getting married. They're not committed to one another. They just take advantage of one another. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Ooh, look at, man, I touched on this 2 weeks ago. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Sodomites are just deceivous, abominable men. Hallelujah. They just sodomize one another. Look at this. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit. Say that. Will inherit. These folks right here will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what you try to convince yourself. I don't care what pastor or preacher or someone told you on TV. God's word, let God be true and let His enemies be scattered. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Thank you, God. We got to believe God. If God said it, then that's what He means. Can I get an amen? There's no compromise to His word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 11. In verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. Ooh, say that with me. And such were some of you. Hallelujah. I was in that category. Can I get an amen? You were in that category. But you were what? Washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by His Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come on. This is a time of just clap. Hallelujah. Clap right now on the couch. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Woo! See, saints, it comes together. Confession and repentance are an important part of sanctification. And when we live a sanctified life, saints of God, then we start learning to walk in obedience to Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's right. Now, look what the Word of God says in 1 John right here. Let's go to 1 John. Look, here's provision for us. And this is why we cannot deceive ourselves as well. Can I get an amen? Listen, our minds can sometimes want to deceive us. Why? Because we want to justify certain things in our life. But God's Word is true. But look what it says. But if we walk in the light, say that with me. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with what? One another. And the blood, say that with me, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, what it cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Now, here's where God's word is so true. Look at the next verse. If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. and the truth that's not in us. So those things that I mentioned, if you're still wallowing in that mud, guess what? The truth is not in you. Because then you would be going against the law of God, the mind of God, the grace of God. God says, remove yourself from that way of life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, here's the key. Verse 9. Say that with me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Woo, man. Don't ever call God a liar. Can I get amen? Don't ever call God a liar. Because God is not a liar. God is true. He's holy. He's merciful. And he wants to do something radical in your life. Oh, yes, he does. You see, saints, we deceive ourselves if we think we'll never sin. No, we'll sin every day. Our mind sometimes is so filthy. We have to go, oh, God, cleanse me from even thinking of that. Can I get amen? Why? Because we still live in this body of flesh. Until we are changed, until we are like him, we're going to be like Paul, like I mentioned earlier in this message. There's a battle going on. But that's a good thing. Because when you know there's a battle raging inside, you're on the right path. You know, that lets you know that, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to win this thing through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. See, Christ not only forgives us, but continually works to cleanse us, making our lives different. See, we're different from true, you know, if you want to call yourself a true born-again believer, you'll be walking in humility. You'll be walking in the grace of God. You'll be knowing that, man, I have been forgiven for so much. And you will, your heart will automatically owe him a well of gratitude. You'll be so grateful. There's nothing we can repay God back. I hope you know that. There's nothing we can do but receive his grace by faith. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He makes the difference in our life. He helps us put away the sin and turn back to him in obedience. And I close with this, one of these last scriptures. Let's look at Colossians. Look at this. But now you yourselves are to put off what? Put off all these things now. I'm speaking to you at home right now. I'm speaking to those right now that still love to yell. Some of you like to still kick the dog. Some of you yell at your wife, yell at your kids, and some of you still have cursive mouths. But look what God's saying here. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put them all off now. Anger and wrath and malice. Look at this. Blasphemy. Filthy language. Man, the F-bombs and the D-bombs and the S-bombs and all those bombs should not even be part of your vocabulary anymore if you're a true child of God. Can I get amen? But I got good news, because if you never given your heart to Christ, he will remove those things by faith. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Say that with me. The new man, which is Christ. The new man is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So I want to leave you with some questions, my friends. Number one, I'm going to ask this question in love, but I'm going to ask in faith. Is there a particular sin you repeatedly confess all the time? And if you know what it is, what is it? Yeah, I mean, I can't hear what it is. You could just know where, you know what it is. You're sitting right on your couch, probably by yourself. And all you have to do is say, oh, God, help me with this, God. Help me with this struggle, God. Help me become the Christian that you want me to be. Help me to deny myself. Help me become strong in the grace of God. Help me build my character once again. My character that's been destroyed. My character that's been mocked at. Oh, God, do something. Rebuild my life, God. Only you can. Well, surrender that thing to him. Don't deny anything from give it all to God. Let's look at this next question. Why do you think you keep struggling with it? What is it? What's that one thing that you keep struggling with? It could be a sort of many things. I don't have time to go through those things, but you know what they are. You need to examine your heart. Let's look at number three. What steps can you take to truly repent and turn from it? You know, how many believe that Jesus is coming soon? Well, this is the time now. This is the time now to get right. This is the time to surrender to God. Look at number four, the fourth question. Look at this. Do you tend to view confession and repentance as a negative experience that makes you feel guilty or worthless, or as an opportunity for cleansing and a fresh start? How do you view it? You should view it as, this is an opportunity for a cleansing, for a fresh start. See, God wants to take that junk that we all walk with. And He's asking, give it to me. Just give it to me. Let me eradicate it. Let me destroy it. Let me do something brand new in your life. Let me do something that you could not do within yourself. Number one, He loves us. He died for us. He cares about you. Give it to Him right now. And watch Him do the miraculous. And fifthly, how could a positive perspective of this privilege encourage confession and motivate you to live a holy life? It's simple, friends. It's called repentance. This whole message, we can go back. This whole message is about repentance. This whole message is for you and for me. This is a message that you could say, okay, God, push that reset button in me. Just like you resetted the whole world. The whole world's under lockdown right now. No one's ever seen this ever in the history of the world, that everyone is locked down. And I know people are biting at the bit to go back to normalcy. But until then, what is God saying to you? He has spoken volumes to me. But I'm here to let you know, number one, He loves you. He cares for you. God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and for me. That He wants to do a mighty thing in your life. He wants to resurrect things that have been dead in your life and then use you in a mighty way. Do you want to be used by Him? I'm here to let you know, soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. Oh, yes, He is. He's about to return. My question is, are you ready? Have you secured your place for eternity? Have you come into that place of repentance and confession unto God? Why? Because when He comes back, He's first coming for the church. And He's going to take us out of the way before He pours out His wrath. The Bible says that we, the saints of God, are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Hallelujah. You should rejoice knowing that when the wrath of God is poured out on this dying world, we're not going to be part of that wrath. But we're going to be with Him in salvation. And we're going to be with Him in heaven. We're going to be rejoicing the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to remove us. He's going to hide us in His pavilion. And while the earth is being judged by Him, we're going to be up in heaven rejoicing. We're going to watch the coronation of the King in heaven. We're going to be sitting at tables and rejoicing the marriage. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. I hope you know that. And He's going to come and He's going to take us away. But my question is, have you reserved your position? Have you secured your place with Him? Are you right with God? Let me just show you what's going to take place. It's going to happen real soon. And we'll close. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Look at this. Paul wrote to this church. He said, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That means those who have died in Christ. Lest you sorrow as many others that do not have any hope. Look at this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. My father, who I was privileged to baptize at the age of 80, God gave him another 13 years, and now he's with the Lord. Hallelujah. He will go first. When Jesus comes, the graves are going to open up, and the bodies are going to reunite with Him, and we're going to watch them go first, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Where does it say that? It says it right here. Look at this. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Say that with me. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at verse 17. Then we, say that with me, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, don't say. It says, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Are you comforted by this message? This message should give you hope. This message here this evening should have spoken to your spirit and said, oh God, what do I do from this point on? Where do I go from here? Maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shared with you what's going to take place. That God's going to remove the believers, true believers. And we're going to be whisked away. We're going to be with Him forevermore. But what about you? What about you? Well, here's the key. I read this scripture. This is the key. Peter said, repent. Make an about face. Make a 180 degree turn. Turn from the culture. Turn from the way that you're living right now and turn to God. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise. Say that with me. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, if you never give in your heart right now, I want to pray with you. That's right. This is your God is speaking to you right now. God has allowed this message to come to your home this evening. This is not a coincidence that you turned on Facebook or YouTube. No. Maybe someone said, hey, let's listen to his message for the first time. Maybe this is your time now that God is saying, you know what? I got a better plan for you. If that's you right now, allow me to pray with you. You pray right there where you're at. And pray this prayer of confession. And prayer, it's not mystical, not magical. Prayer is a tool that God has given us people here on earth, the ability to communicate with the God that's in heaven. It's His tool. It's a tool from His box that He has given mankind to communicate with Him. So I want you to bow your hearts and your head with me and pray this prayer confession and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for my life. I confess to you, Lord, that I am a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise right now, right from the couch. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. God is a good God, and we love the Lord thy God. And if that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, man, get in touch with us. Listen, when I sign off for the next 2 minutes on your screen, this will be a information for you, how you can find us, how you can reach out to us. We want to give you some freebies. We want to give you free downloads of our sermons, downloads of our PowerPoints, downloads of my sermon notes. That's right. And guess what? You also have the ability to donate to our ministry if you wish to do so. And we appreciate anything that you would send our way. Why? Because God has established this ministry. Can I get an amen? And so we're not the type that will fleece you. We won't call you. We won't bug you. But you know what? If God has placed it in your heart, you'll have the information just in a moment. But before I leave, I want to send out a prayer. I want to send out a benediction. I want to send out an Aaronic prayer to you right now. I want to bless your home right now. So allow me to send this prayer out. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Listen, saints of God, I love you. I miss you. I can't wait till we could come together in the unity of the faith. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come into your living rooms once again. Until I see you again, hopefully, by God's grace, we'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. And God will have prepared a Mother's Day message. Because remember, it's Mother's Day this coming Sunday. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.